Here at the American Coalition for Ethanol annual meeting with me is Rick Tolman, CEO of the National Corn Growers Association, who addressed the group here. Well, first of all, we had a crop report out. So I wanted to get the corn growers' reaction to a 13% drop in the corn forecast for this year.
Well, we were hoping for some miracles, but they aren't there, and we know that. The numbers that came out from USDA were very much in line with what we were thinking. It's a disaster. It's one of the worst situations we've had in the history of corn production in the United States. Now, it's still the eighth largest crop we've ever produced, but we have been increasing needs and demand and our demand base, and so we certainly will have to significantly cut back use in the United States and around the world to make this fit. The thing I keep reminding folks is, you know, fortunately we have a southern hemisphere, and so we'll have another corn crop in the world in 6 months. They saw these numbers. They see the prices. They have a huge incentive to produce a large amount, and we will probably be importing corn from Brazil and Argentina and elsewhere into the United States, and they have an opportunity to take advantage of that. And then 6 months from that, we'll have our new crop. And at this point, back to normal weather, we would anticipate breaking all-time records.
Of course, with this report, we're going to see increased calls for a waiver or something to go on with the renewable fuel standard, as it's already been happening. We're seeing members of Congress writing letters, and one of the things that NCGA did this week was to try and put out some facts about the RFS, especially in light of one of the letters that came out that had some fact errors, and we'll just call it that. So what are some of the main things that you really want to get across, especially to members of Congress and anybody, and your other market there? Corn has to walk a thin line between both ethanol and livestock producers are much of the impetus behind this. So what are some of the things that NCGA really wants these people to know about the RFS?
Well, the first thing we want them to know is that we're suppliers to the livestock industry, to the ethanol industry, to the export market, to the domestic market, and we're concerned about all those markets. And our farmers are livestock producers as well. They are invested in ethanol plants. They eat food. They have to buy food in the grocery store, and so this impacts them. And plus, they're not really benefiting from these higher prices. You have to have a crop to benefit from that. So that's one fact. I think another one I'd like them to understand, I hear a lot of misinformation about the impact of corn prices on food prices. There is absolutely no reason in the world that any food prices should be increasing right now because of these corn prices. These are market clearing prices. These are futures prices. The vast majority of the corn that's traded this year and will be traded the balance of this year is well below that because farmers forward contract, and they were anticipating lower prices, and so they forward contract. So those who are raising prices are opportunistic. Third fact I like them to understand, I hear a lot of reference in the media that we use more corn for ethanol than we do for livestock. Absolutely wrong. We grind more corn for ethanol than we do for livestock, but a third of what's ground for ethanol goes back into livestock feed, and so we are still consuming much more corn for livestock than we are for ethanol. Let's get that fact straight. I think the last thing that I'd like them to understand is that the enemy is the drought. And people are a lot, the oil industry, the refiners, OPEC and others are taking advantage of this unfortunate circumstances to spin a lot of emotional misinformation to get people to think if you take away the RFS, we're going to have all this surplus corn that goes to livestock feed. Not the case. We wouldn't have had that corn planted in the first place if we hadn't had the RFS. Farmers respond to a market signal, and the signal said produce corn, otherwise we wouldn't have had what we had. And so it's false economy to think that. We'll get through this. The market, just let the market work. The market's the most efficient way to do it. I've heard even a few people talk about an export embargo. Foolish. Remember what happened in the 1970s. It's taken us 40 years to overcome what we did with the export embargo. We should never consider that. We should never consider a domestic embargo. The market is the most efficient way to allocate these resources, and it'll do it.
Another issue facing the corn growers right now is the lack of a as the secretary calls it, a food, farm, and jobs bill. What are you seeing at this point in your hopes that what will happen when Congress comes back next month?
You know, we're really disappointed in the House leadership for not bringing it to a vote. They have something that came out of the House Ag Committee. The Senate has done their job. Let the House vote on it and see what happens. Not bringing it to a vote is just plain crazy politics. We're hoping during this recess period that there are some congressmen who have started a discharge petition, I think it's called, where if they get enough signatures that will force the House to have to vote on it. And so we're encouraging our members, while their members of Congress are out in their districts, to ask them to sign on to that petition. If we get over 50% to sign it, then the House leadership has no choice but to bring it to a vote. And that's our best hope right now. We need a new farm bill. It's the best way to address this drought. Farmers need some certainty. We need the provisions that are out there, that are available, and it's the best tangible thing they should do. All those congressmen that signed on to reduce the RFS letters ought to be signing on to the discharge position and get a farm bill passed. That would have a lot more impact on food prices and addressing the issue.
Now, what do you think about the conference here, especially today? We saw Secretary Vilsack here, Senator Nelson, and former Senator Bob Kerry, all of which who were very emphatic in their support of ethanol. And really, seems like it's been a pretty good conference. What do you think?
It's been an excellent conference. It was. I needed to come and hear these things myself, because you get beaten down by misinformation, by critics. I mean, this report that came out from the UN today, it reminds me why people want to do away with the UN. What stupid analysis. What business do they have in the first place? And then they make stupid comments. But very inspiring today. Secretary Vilsack is a huge champion of all of agriculture, and particularly right now the ethanol industry, and just a voice of reason out there. Senator Nelson, and former Senator Kerry did a fantastic job, and they stirred everybody up and encouraged them to go out and talk to their congressmen and senators, and I think they will.
Anything else you'd like to add, Rick?
Well, we hit all the important things. I think that we've got to support the RFS. We've got to keep that from being changed. There is flexibility in it that's built in. Let it work. There is a waiver process that's based on sound economics. Let that work if people choose to do that. And let's get a farm bill passed. Ridiculous to talk about disaster assistance without passing a farm bill or extending the current farm bill. Let's get it done.
All right. Thank you very much. Rick Tolman here at the American Coalition for Ethanol annual meeting. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.